What's up, heroes? Welcome to the Producer Life Podcast, episode 47. I'm your host, The House Ninja, and today is part two of our interview with Zeb Lego, a producer, record label owner, multi-instrumentalist, and now a rapper. If you missed part one, make sure you check out episode 46 first at producerlifepodcast.com. Today, we get into specific advice for producers and musicians looking to make some extra money freelancing, and Zeb really opens up with the powerful story behind the death of his friend, Devin.
It says that they have zero deaths on their campus. And that's really, really sad, because you think whenever somebody dies, like, they're just going to be another statistic. Well, my best friend wasn't even that. He's pretty much forgotten by all of history.
But first, cue the intro music. If you don't mind me asking kind of a personal question, you're talking about Devin, because in the last podcast you talked about the legend of Devin and that project. Do you mind sharing with listeners, you know, kind of what happened with Devin and how it all played out?
Yeah, this is actually, it is actually related to Devin. Just to make a long story very short, you know, we were the same age, and whenever we hit 18, we both went to college, two separate colleges, and he went to a college that has been historically connected to, like, partying. I think, like, 3 or 4 years ago, it was the number one party school in America. The school is Indiana University of Pennsylvania, IUP, and there's just not too much to say. It's kind of a sad story, but on his second day, you know, nobody could get a hold of him, and they kind of just found him on the side of the road. And we didn't really get much. They launched an investigation, the school did, but within, you know, just 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, they said they didn't really know what happened, but they ruled out foul play, which foul play means that, you know, possibly somebody, one of the other students maybe did something to him, or it was, like, probably more specific to them. They were worried about hazing. They wanted to kind of, like, still the possibility of it being a hazing incident. So they kind of, it really, really didn't sit well with my community or any of my friends or his family, that the way that they just washed their hands clean of any kind of responsibility. Our family launched our own private investigation, because we didn't feel that that IUP was going to give a fair investigation based off of what they had already said about foul play. So we hired a private investigator, but IUP, I say they stole it, but they basically took all of his belongings. And I mean, all of his belongings, his computer down to, like, his t-shirts. And they took all of that, and they said it was evidence, and they couldn't give it up because they were still working on an investigation. So our private investigator had to go off of essentially nothing. He was essentially like a 1920s detective, and we never got anything out of it. And IUP kept all of his things. And just last year, I don't know if anybody knows this, but it's important for listeners to know. If you ever get wrapped up in this, in some kind of altercation at a school or a college, they can keep your belongings as evidence, but they must give it back after 4 years, because a school's investigation is not legally allowed to go on for more than 4 years. So you can probably guess that they let it expire after 4 years, and all the evidence and all of his belongings and everything that maybe could have been used to actually find out the truth about what happened to him, time had already rendered that information useless. So it's really a sad story. And I wanted to tell all that. I wanted to tell people about that, how a college in our area, a really well-esteemed college, was doing such terrible things. And in the past 5 years, I've been watching the school like a hawk, and I've watched time and time again. They they weren't just specific to Devin. Anytime the going gets rough, they try to wipe their hands of it. They try to have a hands-off approach. They don't try to take any responsibility for it. And I'm not going to mention, you know, any cases or anything like that, but just believe me, as somebody who's grieving over somebody that, you know, this happened to, they, not the first time, I don't think it'll be the last. The saddest thing about it all is that every school, obviously, at the end of their school year, they have to release what's called a security report, which tells you how many, you know, hazings or bullyings or anything that's like just unwanted or unlawful. They have to keep record of that, and they publish it at the end of the year. If you look at IUP's security report for the past 5 years, it says that they have zero deaths on their campus. And that's really, really sad, because you think whenever somebody dies, like, they're just going to be another statistic. Well, my best friend wasn't even that. He's pretty much forgotten by all of history. And that's just terribly, terribly sad to me, especially because he was my favorite person in the world. He taught me how to make music. So that's why I made this rap song. That's why I tried rap. And I think I did really, really well with it, just conveying the whole message.
You did, and it's a very powerful song. And I'm terribly sorry for your loss. I'm sure it's still really difficult even after 5 years. How is it different writing a track from such a deeply personal experience instead of, you know, some of the other songs that you've written that may just be from something more conceptual?
That's an interesting question. There's always, I know you also produce music, so you know about, you know, the spark. Whenever you have an idea or you think of something, you're like, oh, that's really nice. Let's add more of that, or let's elaborate on that. Or you might have an idea of what to make a song about, and you'll start forming more thoughts about it in your head. Whenever I started writing that song was the first song where the lyrics actually came before the music. I found a beat online one day, and I was brushing up on my skills, actually just trying to freestyle to it. I think I was in front of a couple friends. We were just joking, but the beat itself was kind of like vicious. Even though I was freestyling, just whatever came to my head, it didn't really fit. And later on, that night I downloaded that beat, and it just brought me to that thought of like, the only thing I really have to rap about is this struggle, this like time in my life, because nobody really likes hearing a rapper that just raps about like how great they are or what they do or like how better they are, or just adding a bunch of funny similes or metaphors in it. That doesn't go quite far enough. So it was just a spark. It was just an idea. And once I started writing for it, it was not difficult, but it made me feel in my heart, once I started doing it, it gave me a weird feeling of like, you can't stop. Like once you started this idea, like if you stop this idea, then you're going to be no better than everybody that tried to keep the information private. Once I had that idea, I just felt like it was kind of like my duty to give Devin the word that he always deserved, because nobody had said it thus far. And people always ask me about it. So I figured it was just the right time, and I had the spark for it.
Do you find that made it easier or harder to finish the track, that pressure you were putting on yourself?
It made it very, very easy to finish the track. I made the lyrics in about 2 hours and recorded it in about, say, about an hour to get all the right takes. And maybe another 2 hours of mixing and mastering and everything like that until it was finally done. So it was done in like a 6 hour span, one sitting. It was very like, I don't think inspirational is the right word, but it just made me feel like it was something that I had to do. Like once that thought came into my head, I couldn't say, nah, I can't do that. That's not my style of music, or I'm not a rapper. I can't say that I am, or this isn't really, I'm not an angry person. I'm not a mean person. So I can't, you know, write a diss track about an entire school. But as the idea came, I said, if I stop, then that's terrible. So I'm so glad I just kept going, and it just gave me that spark to just keep going. And yeah. everything was really, really, really smooth with it. It came out really, really nice. I guess that's like a testament to what it is. I knew everything I had to say.
Yeah, it's a really powerful track, and you've got almost 2,000 views on YouTube just in the last 6 weeks. Why, out of curiosity, you've got two different songs on one YouTube video. You've got Designated Hitter, and there's a brief pause, and then you flow into Sidewalk Stains. Why did you decide to do two tracks on one YouTube video? Just because they were covering the same topic, or did you consider splitting them?
Yes, I actually, whenever I showed my videographer, the original Designated Hitter was the first song that I made. He said, this is really, really good. We should make a video for this. And I said, well, I actually made another song that's about the exact same thing. And we were talking about virality and pop culture. And he said, you know, a lot of these rappers are basically like taking two songs, putting them just together, not actually like meshing them, just putting them one after another and just calling it one song. You should try it with that and see how it goes. I said, what do you mean? He's like, if you heard of Sicko Mode, like, you know, the beginning of Drake's part is like completely different from the rest of the song, yet it's the same song. So you should do that. I was like, that's a really, really good idea. We could try that. So I meshed it in a way where they do mesh together BPM-wise. The end of Designated Hitter kind of picks up tempo, and it fades really nicely into the next song. But whenever we shot the video for that one, he said, you know, this one's a lot more reserved. You're speaking a lot more intellectually instead of with passion. You should maybe be sitting for this one and like kind of like explaining, like you're actually sitting down and talking to somebody and looking them in the eyes and telling them about like your actual intellectual position on it. And I was like, that is a genius idea. And after we shot that video, it came out really well. And I was like, you are really, really good at what you do. You should be my videographer. And that's why we brought him aboard the label. So it was two tracks separately that actually he said we should make into one, and I'm glad he did.
Okay. And so that was your first foray into rapping, and you did it as James Zero. You mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, you were concerned about maybe being too off, you didn't put it exactly this way, but being off brand, or maybe diluting your brand. Do you see a sort of a third persona as a rapper at some point, or where do you see yourself taking this aside from some freelance work on Fiverr? Because clearly you've got a talent for it.
That's another really good question. You're really good at, you are a very good interviewer.
thank you.
I don't think it would ever be like a third project under James Zero, or like another subsect of James Zero. I think if I ever continued to do it, I would make another project. But that's also going back to, you know, there's a lot of rappers. Yeah, I don't want to dilute rap, and I don't want to stereotype it in any way. But a lot of my favorite rappers are, you know, people like Kendrick Lamar. A lot of most of his songs are about something. You know, I bring up maybe How Much Does a Dollar Cost is about just somebody walking by a homeless person. A lot of these songs, DNA is about lineage. There's not a lot of stories that I need to tell. My story, I think, has been told with Designated Hitter and Sidewalk Stains, who's Devin is really, really, really important to me, and that came naturally. So I can't imagine there's really any other topics in my life right now that would come as naturally as that and would just feel as right as that. So I don't think that there would ever be a subsect of James Zero that's in rapping. However, I do have a couple songs in the James Zero catalog that contain some boom bap behind like indie guitars, some like jazz lo-fi guitars that have like spoken word in front of it. So if you were a fan of that, anybody listening, the content will still be there in some of my upcoming releases, maybe even on the new album. We'll see.
Okay. The music industry and people working in that industry are hurting right now. And a lot of people are looking for an additional source of income. And so I'm intrigued by your launch on Fiverr. I've used Fiverr a lot for freelance work, everything from album art to vocals to branding. My logo came from Fiverr. So I've used them a lot in the past. What was it like from a content creator's perspective signing up for Fiverr? What did that take? And obviously you just launched, I think, like a week ago. So, you know, how's it going so far?
Sure. So I also own a art page, a promotion page called Twisted Aesthetic, where we just promote original artwork. We promote just cool artwork. We like to post it. And there's a bit of a following behind that as well. So that was my first Fiverr ad, was instead of just asking people on the Facebook that already followed it to submit their own artwork, why don't I post a gig on Fiverr of people to send me their artwork, and then I could charge a buck or two for it. So that was really nice. I started with that, and then I made another gig where I said, hey, you can also post your music on this page as well. And then from there, one of my friends, like you, said, hey, I noticed that. Why are you putting promotion stuff on there? Aren't you an artist? You should put a couple music-related things on there and see where it goes. So I said, okay. I'm not sure if I wanted to dive into singing quite yet, or actually like maybe producing things for people, because productions take quite a bit of time. But one thing I could definitely do, and one thing I seemed to be good at, like on the fly, was rapping. So I decided to put that up there as well. And from a content creator's perspective, all I can say is, you know, there's a lot of different people from around the world. There's a lot of rappers on there from around the world that specialize in different things. My niche is that all I have to offer is that I am who I am. If you like my stuff, then if you think it's quality, I could give you that same quality. And one thing I really hinge on is that I'm all American. There's, again, I don't want to stereotype Fiverr or anything like that, but there's been times where I've actually used things on Fiverr and language was a barrier, or I've purchased promotion. And for example, in maybe the Philippines, and it doesn't do as well for me because people in the Philippines, sometimes they don't understand English. Sometimes there's just not as many people. So for something like promotion, I would go with, you know, American artists, especially if you're an American trying to record an album, if you need another vocalist. But by the same token, you know, all of my I've bought album artwork from Fiverr. I've gotten animations from Fiverr, and a lot of those people come from what I guess we could consider third world countries where I mentioned before that maybe don't speak a lot of English and maybe don't have a ton of people and maybe don't even have like a lot of people that are connected to the internet or really even care about like streaming platforms or streaming music. A lot of those people are fantastic at making visualizers, album artwork. They can even help you with your SEO, visualizers, everything like that. So that's another standpoint that I have as well.
Yeah, and I guess for people that are interested in freelancing on Fiverr, I guess that's part of the lesson you have to learn and expect is that you're competing on a global marketplace. So, you know, you've really got to bring your A game, and you have to build up a portfolio that people will be interested in purchasing whatever you're doing. So I guess I would be remiss in pointing out that you are discounting your prices for the month of November, I guess, to kind of get some reviews and get things going. So this podcast should come out sometime towards the end of November. So if anybody out there needs a rapper, go check out his gigs on Fiverr. I'll make sure to have a link in the show notes.
Awesome. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for noticing that and supporting it as well as another content creator. That means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it on your Facebook page, so you know where your advertising is working. So, so talk to me a little bit more. Just I've only purchased. I've been a consumer of services on Fiverr. For somebody that is interested, you know, one of the producers out there that's listening, if they're interested in selling their mixing and mastering services, what advice can you offer? Since you have been on the platform for a while with your other gigs, what advice can you offer for somebody that's thinking about freelancing using Fiverr?
Huge piece of advice. I'm so glad you asked that question. Huge piece of advice. So I've used Fiverr before, like you, as a consumer. I've only recently started to post gigs. Now, when I first started using Fiverr as a consumer, I did have a couple gigs up that weren't very. That didn't take me a lot of time. They were like very, very simple Photoshop edits, like make your nose smaller or make your eyes really big or make you look a little bit better, take away your acne, things that I could do in like 10 minutes. So I had a lot of those posted. And whenever I came back to it months later, I saw that like 8 or 9 people had bought those gigs and I had never followed up on it. So I was like, oh man, I need to delete this account and I need to start fresh. I need to start serious with my A game, like you said. So I deleted that account and I made a brand new one. Huge mistake was saying I was from America, because they make you take a mandatory English test at the beginning. Now, if you use Google Chrome, this English test does not work. The script for it just fails. It brings up a pop-up window with a bunch of coding text. So that happened to me. And, you know, this test is mandatory. It doesn't let you post gigs. It won't even let you publish gigs, without taking this test to ensure that you understand English, which is good, but, it crashed or it just didn't work. So I exited out and I tried it again, it crashed, but then Fiverr hit me with a notice that said, you cannot retake this test anymore. The next time you can retake it is in 90 days. Which is 3 months. So I said, that's insane, but I'm sure I can contact Fiverr support and get around this. This should be no issue. This is just a technical issue. They pretty much said the exact same thing. They said, we give you, you know, 2 chances to take the test. If it didn't work first time, you should have tried another browser. You should have did something else. You can do it again in 90 days, but there's not much we can do. I was like, that's bit ridiculous, I think, because a lot of people on Fiverr are, you know, independent. I don't think a lot of these people are millionaires. They're trying to make an extra $5 or $10 here and there, and trying to grow their portfolio, like you said. So I made yet another account, but this time, instead of saying I was from America, I said I wasn't. And then I posted my gigs, and then later on, I took the test. And I took it on another browser. I believe it was Mozilla. And I took it on another computer. And it worked fine. And it worked well. But it was that this button was on a different launching screen. So just in short, if I could give any information to a somebody that's trying to aspire to sell things on Fiverr, don't say you're from the U.S. Just say that you're not from the U.S., and then afterwards, send Fiverr either an email or take the English test, like I said. Now, when you say that you're not from America, you don't have to take any mandatory tests. So that's a really, really other thing, a really nice thing. But I also have to say this, if you're gonna go that route, it works really well that you can just start jumping into things and start going, which is what I believe you should be able to do. And that's what I believe Fiverr is there for. But you really need to correct it, because as you may or may not know, Fiverr is kind of like eBay, where they keep track of all your income. And at the end of the year, they will send you a W-9 form and you have to do your taxes with it. So you really, really need to correct that immediately. I would correct it before you get a sale. So just set up shop, publish a gig, and then either send an email or take that English test and make sure you're doing everything the right way legally, so that you can both get started on work and be legit. So don't say you're from America at first if you are skeptical about running into technical problems.
Okay, and don't use Chrome.
And possibly don't use Chrome.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's saying you're an American would make you take an English test. It seems like the other way around, that they would want you to take an English test immediately if you're from a different country. So that's very counterintuitive.
That's what I thought as well, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, like I said, one of my big niches are that, like, I'm an American that does all American work. That's something that I put on my profile. So maybe they try to keep people that are pretending to be American from doing that, or maybe people that don't fully understand the language, keeping them from representing themselves as, like, from an English country, so that, like, a consumer doesn't get the wrong thing. But 100%, I don't think anything should make you really take an English test. If you're writing in English, you know how to speak English. And if your grammar's not great, I don't really care.
Unless you're selling a copyright service.
Yeah, of course.
So, another interesting tidbit about Fiverr, and I signed up for this a while back, is that they do also offer an affiliate program. And I've talked a couple of times about affiliate marketing on this podcast. And so even if you're not interested in selling services on Fiverr, you can sign up for their affiliate program. And then they provide you with a custom link where anytime anybody purchases something through Fiverr using your link, you get a small commission on that.
Oh, wow.
So I will... absolutely. So it's a good deal. And with Fiverr, you know, there's literally an incredible spectrum of services being provided, everything from amazing vocalists to mixing and mastering to marketing to silly little services like, hey, for $5, I'll hit myself in the face with a pie and send you a video of it.
I've seen that.
You don't have to have an incredible technical skill, and people are buying those. So if you have a strange talent or are willing to do odd things on the camera, you may have an income stream on Fiverr. And even if you don't, you should look at their affiliate program because it's pretty good, pretty easy to set up.
I saw one person, this is crazy to me. It just shows you that you can pretty much do anything on this platform that isn't illegal. I saw one person post a gig that basically said they'll drink as much water as you tell them to. Like, they'll drink any amount of water for a certain price on camera. And I was like, what? And, I did see in his example, like, there was one dude, like, straight chugging a jug. I can't imagine that anybody bought that, but he had reviews, so... I guess if you put something crazy enough, people are just curious.
I wonder what sort of skill you endorse there. Excellent water drinker.
Yeah. Take a test for that. Might be a course on it.
Could be. I imagine you don't have to speak English for that one either. So I know we covered this in the last podcast episode, but I'll recap this for listeners that are picking up this episode. Where are the best places for people to find you and your music and your record company?
So the best place now, and I encourage every musician to do this, is create a link tree or an alternative so you can group all these social medias in one. So I do have a link tree. It's just linktree.com/James0Music. Or you can go to the website for our record label, www.anythingbutcountry.com. Anything else would be just that straight Spotify link is would be good as well. Just look me up on Spotify, James Zero, or like I said, go to my link tree and go to anythingbutcountry.com, country with a K, and check it out. It's a really nice site. It's really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast a second time, and we'll look forward to having you back maybe next year.
Everybody needs to listen to House Ninja's mixes. They are really, really good. Not only are the songs really good, but your visuals are really awesome too. So that's next level.
Well, thank you very much for calling. In fact, I've got a show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, Heroic Hump Day House Party. Just check out houseninjamusic.com/shows.
Right on. I'll be watching that at 9 o'clock.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again. I'll give you a shout out. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, man.
Here's some of my takeaways for freelancing on Fiverr. First, Fiverr is a great platform that allows you to reach a global market for your talents. Your first task is figuring out what you want to offer, which doesn't have to be big to start. If you're a producer, you could offer just quick vocal edits. You don't have to offer full mixing and mastering services. You can also have multiple different gigs at once. So if you've got an odd talent or interest, like drinking water, hitting yourself in the face with pies, or doing a funny accent, there's probably someone out there willing to pay you to do it. I would add that you should also consider your branding if you're going to post a gig linked to your music project. For example, if you're the lead singer for a death metal band, you may want to think twice about offering to fold custom balloon animals while singing cutesy children's songs. Second, Fiverr is a global platform, so you're competing against talented freelancers around the world. So don't be surprised if you're required to take an English test as part of the application. Zeb recommends using the Firefox browser for that test, as Chrome gave him some issues. Third, once you've decided to post your first gig and fill out the application, make sure you follow through. Watch your account and be responsive so that you can build up some good ratings and begin raising your prices as your reputation grows. Speaking of reputation, if you enjoy this podcast, please do me a favor and take a minute and leave a rating and review over on whichever platform you're listening on. That would help me out a lot. I've got a lot of links for you in the show notes, so head over to producerlifepodcast.com and look for episode 47. Until next week, this is the House Ninja reminding you to be someone's hero today.